Marion Harkin, developments in Brexit have been happening by the hour, it would seem, at the moment. And a couple of developments this afternoon, the Attorney General's advice in Britain and the indication from the ERG that they're going to reject the deal. It's looking pretty difficult now for this to get through the House of Commons.
Yes, well, I mean, the dominoes are falling at this stage. I mean, last night, there was a sort of almost unreal air about this place with Theresa May dashing here late at night. At times you felt nearly like you were living on a film set and with all the camera crews around, etc. But look, last night, I think there was some hope, even though people hadn't seen the documents, etc. But this morning, and especially today at lunchtime, the Attorney General's advice is very clear. I've just read through it there, and it's quite unambiguous. There is no change. And of course, immediately, that advice was made public. It was quite clear that the ERG, and while I can't speak for them, I suspect the DUP will not be able to support it. So Theresa May is probably staring down the barrel of a defeat, you know, something similar to what she had before. Whereas perhaps earlier today, we all thought, because that was in the absence of legal advice, but that there was maybe some possibility she had a chance to get it through. But that seems to be totally blown out of the water now.
Yeah, and in this case, if there is a defeat, she has set out what would happen in the House of Commons over the next few days. If that's the case, do you think she needs to make sure she delivers on those commitments if that is to fall tonight?
Well, she absolutely does, because otherwise we are on the cliff edge. And her commitment, I believe, to a vote to exclude the possibility of a no-deal Brexit. And then after that, there's talk of looking for an extension. And while I believe the EU will be flexible, nonetheless, they have to say what they want the extension for. Because last night, Juncker was very clear. He said quite bluntly, sometimes you get a second chance. Last night was the second chance. And he said, when that happens, you have to take it. There will be no third chance. So that was saying very clearly, this is it. End of story. Done. So if Theresa May finds she cannot get a majority in the House of Commons for that deal, then what is she looking for an extension for? So there is no possibility that she will get a majority if she doesn't get it tonight. So then she has to have another reason to look for an extension. And she'll want to be careful about how she words that.
Yeah, so we're in for another period of volatility and speculation on what's going to happen. The uncertainty is really disturbing for many Irish people in your constituency, across border communities and throughout the island.
The uncertainty is driving people crazy, because I think there was some small glimmer of hope that, you know, last night's theatre would perhaps help her to get this across the line. That now seems totally unlikely. We're back to the uncertainty. What's going to happen? And people want to get on with their lives. Businesses want to invest. Farmers need to know, are they going to be able to sell their cattle? Will their dairy produce continue to be sold and travel across the border? Businesses need to know about, you know, what their circumstances are, both from supply chain, both from the perspective of imports, exports. Everybody is with their backs to the wall at this stage. I mean, I think, maybe I'm naive, but I think that nobody really believes they'll jump off the cliff. I don't. I don't think anybody believes they will, because even today I've heard one or two, you know, people who might have supported Brexit saying that a no-deal Brexit is a bad idea. They're not saying it's catastrophic, which it would be, but they are saying it's not a good idea anyway. So I think we should get a clear indication that they don't want a no-deal Brexit, but it's the next step after that that's going to be problematic. And I don't know if a second referendum will be on the agenda or not. I think that's a lot of risk in that, not just from the prospect of whether to be won or lost. That's entirely up to the British people. But it's about the uncertainty that would generate, about the possibility for unrest, anger, you know, all of that is facing the UK. And that's why, obviously, the Attorney General's advice is crystal clear. May's deal is no chance. But if that hadn't been the case, I thought that perhaps MPs might have considered her deal, because that's the prospect that's facing them. And, you know, people talk about reaping the whirlwind. I would be concerned about the whirlwind that could be around the corner if the House of Commons does not find some way of solving their own problems. Somebody was asking me, what should Ireland do? Ireland should do nothing. Yes, the phone is there. There are friends. You speak to your friends. You listen to your friends. You offer them support. But they have to sort out this for themselves. If somebody wrote this book, people would say, that couldn't happen in real life. This is a work of fiction. This is the craziest piece of fiction, if you like, or events that could possibly happen to any country. It's a worst nightmare where the Parliament cannot find agreement on the way forward. Politicians are supposed to offer a vision. They're supposed to offer hope for the future that people can believe in. They're supposed to offer policies and programs and pathways. The House of Commons can offer nothing. What is that saying to the British people? How much does that undermine their democracy? It's a shocking thing to happen.
And the whirlwind you refer to, how do you think that will manifest itself?
Look, I don't know, and I don't want to speculate, because as soon as politicians start to speculate about things like that, it's nearly as if they caused it. But there is a level of anger among people on both sides. You listen to, you know, even discourses on the television sometimes. You see what's being said on Twitter. You speak to colleagues from the UK. It seems that if you're on one side, you've stopped listening to the other side. I'm not saying that's 100%, but it's 90 and it's 90 plus. So nobody is trying to find middle ground. Nobody is trying to find common ground, or certainly the numbers are small. And when that happens in any society, it's divided, it's turning in on itself. And history has taught us that, you know, there can be a whirlwind when that happens. Because you see, if people lose faith in the democratic process, and the democratic process in the UK is representative democracy, the House of Commons. If people lose faith in that, if people see it's not working, if people see it can't work, that they can't get agreement, then that's when people get scared. That's when people look elsewhere and perhaps make choices they might not otherwise have made.